Church, it is no secret that we come together to proclaim with boldness and with assurity that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Amen? Hallelujah is the cry that we collectively cry out because he is alive. Year after year, we are faced with an increasingly difficult task of reflecting on a familiar story, a story that's in all of our Bibles, a story that we all know all too well. And quite frankly, I don't get nervous a lot when I speak, particularly in this context, because y'all are family, and it's easy to speak in front of family. But I got to be honest with you, every Easter is when I get a little bit nervous, because how do you talk about the same story over and over again, a story that everyone has heard over and over again? There are people who are a whole lot better than I am and explaining this phenomenon and this great day. But here I am, 2016, attempting once again to talk about the resurrection. I want to direct your attention to the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, the resurrection text for today. Luke chapter 24, and we'll read the first few verses, 12 verses of Luke 24. Luke 24, starting at verse number 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the dead among the living? Or look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. And Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened." Today is the day that we look more keenly at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is pivotal and foundational to our faith. And while today is called Easter or Resurrection Sunday for literally billions of people around the world, we have come to understand that being a people of the resurrection is something we live in every day. Nonetheless, today we come together being brought together through the power of this momentous event. For close to 2,000 years, this event has been the occasion to fuel our movement, to focus our missional efforts, and to form our collective identity as believers in Jesus Christ. In the second century, nearly 2,000 years ago, a prominent preacher by the name of Melito was infamous for his Easter homilies or his Easter sermons. Here is a sample from one of them as he was speaking of Jesus Christ. He said, "He is the one who covered death with shame and cast the devil into mourning as Moses cast Pharaoh into mourning. He is the one that smote sin and robbed iniquity of offspring as Moses robbed the Egyptians of their offspring. He is the one who brought us out of slavery into freedom, out of darkness into light, out of death into life, out of tyranny into an eternal kingdom, who made us a new priesthood, a people chosen to be his own forever. He is the Passover that is our salvation." This brother, this is a second century, this brother could preach. It is he continues, who was made man of the virgin. He was he who was hung on the tree. It is he who was buried in the earth, raised from the dead, and taken up to heights of heaven. He is the mute lamb, the slain lamb, born of Mary, the fair lamb, fair sheep. He was seized from the flock, dragged off to be slaughtered, sacrificed in the evening, and buried at night. On the tree, no bone of him was broken. In the earth, his body knew no decay. He is the one who rose from the dead and who raised man from the depths of the tomb. That was way back in the second century, where the church there gathered together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it was so foundational and pivotal and big amongst the Christian community, the early Christian community. Church, in 2016, nothing has changed. Jesus is still the one ordained by God to set in motion a redemptive plan to save mankind from sin, from themselves, and from each other. Jesus is the Lamb of God sent to take away the sins of the world. Jesus is the Lion of Judah prompted to reign in victory over death. If you don't hear anything else from today's sermon, hear this. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and now he lives, and because he lives, we can live. Amen. In today's gospel reading, the evangelist Luke shares with us a glimpse into the events of that day when Jesus Christ arose. There were women disciples who play a prominent role in the ministry of Jesus, who go to the place where Jesus was buried. And to their great shock, they do not find the body of the Lord there. He's gone. But they are met by two messengers who share this shocking truth. Jesus is alive. He has risen from the dead. Furthermore, the men remind the women that Jesus himself predicted that this would take place. They say to the women, "Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then the women, they remembered his words. With this news, the women run to the 11 disciples and others to tell them what they have witnessed. The remaining 11 disciples and others were distraught. Their hope in the establishment of a new world order or a restored world order had been crushed when Jesus cried out from the cross, "It is finished." He breathed his last. But upon hearing this news from the women, the apostles shrug off the seemingly ridiculous report. But Peter wants to see for himself, so he runs to the tomb and he takes a look in. He looks in and only sees burial cloths, leaving Peter wondering, what's going on? He is suspended in a bewildered reality. Mourning for the death of his master has now turned into the ultimate event of mystery and intrigue. For the past several weeks, we have been talking about hope. Hope is that word and idea that often gets lost while we discuss faith and love and church doctrine and biblical theology. And what we have considered so far is that our hope is something firmly established in God. We have a hope within us that was sanctified by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But what do we do when hope is met with doubt or pain or uncertainty? When Peter stepped into that tomb, he was met with a sobering uncertainty. Peter was gripped with fear, engrossed in disappointment, captivated by doubt and uncertainty. The same would be the feelings for a couple of disciples who were walking down a road discussing the events of the past couple days. The text says that while they were walking, Jesus walked beside them, but they did not recognize him. Jesus asked them what was going on as he saw the pain and the bewilderment that surely took over their face. One named Cleopas said to Jesus, "Are you the only one in town that does not know what's going on?" And they began to explain to Jesus all that had taken place, how this Jesus had been crucified and falsely arrested. And down in Luke in chapter 24, they're talking to Jesus, and they say the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some women now have amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. It's understandable that these disciples were so distraught. And Jesus, I think we need to hear this. Jesus met them exactly where they were. It's amazing to know that Jesus often meets us where we are. Sometimes we get it twisted, think that we need to be somewhere else before Jesus can meet us. But sometimes it's in the depths of our despair. Sometimes it's when we're most distraught. Sometimes it's when we are least hopeful that Jesus meets us right there. And sometimes we just have our eyes closed to the fact that even though we're overtaken with anger, or we're overtaken with some sort of issue or problem or circumstance, sometimes our eyes are closed so tight during those circumstances that we don't see Jesus walking right beside us. You see, he meets us where we are oftentimes. He meets them exactly where they were in their despair, in their despondency, and in their doubt. You heard them. They were hopeful that he was going to redeem Israel. They were hopeful that Jesus was the one to make things right. They were hopeful that their lives and the lives of others would be impacted, changed, and transformed by this Jesus. But the events of the days prior robbed them of that hope. And to a degree, they were bound up and oppressed in their own misery. The resurrected Jesus met them where they were, and he began to share the scriptures with them. Yet all the scriptures explaining led to a moment at a table. This couple invites the stranger who they still don't recognize to their home, and they sit at a table. Yeah, table language is something that's prominent, particularly in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus was always at a table. He was at a table with his disciples. He was at a table with sinners. He was at a table with Pharisees. He was always at a table, and here we are post-resurrection, and we find Jesus again at a table. The text says in Luke chapter 24, verse 30, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then, the text says, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Eyes were open. There is something liberating and emancipating about having eyes open. Jesus intended to have that effect and impact on people. In his self-declared mission about his ministry and what God had brought him to earth to do, earlier in Luke chapter 4, Jesus says this about himself: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Church, this Resurrection Sunday, I am here to declare to you that encountering the risen Christ means eyes can be open to see and experience emancipation, liberation, and freedom. Look, church, because Jesus is risen from the dead, chains have been broken, the prison cells have been opened, and what awaits all of us who have encountered the risen Christ, freedom. Our hope isn't defeated, thwarted, or crushed. Our hope finds freedom in Jesus Christ because hope emancipates. And if ever there was a time where we need an emancipating message, it would be now. Because right now, our hearts and minds are inundated with reasons to be afraid. You see, we pray for the victims in Belgium, and we are keenly aware that there is an evil that persists that wants to kill us, and it grips us. As a parent, I sometimes find myself thinking about the safety of my children at their schools. Used to didn't be that way. Used to you sent your kids to school and they came home and it was all right, but now we got people going into schools and shooting up schools and doing all types of things. And every time you get an email or a text alert on your phone talking about a school has a shutdown because there's a gunman in the area, you start thinking all types of things. You see, we have a reason right now to want to have an emancipating or a liberating or a freeing message through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because we are now bound and gripped by fear. We need this message because right now, uncertainty is a theme that many of us are living right now. Where am I going to work tomorrow? How am I going to pay this bill? Where am I going to be in 10 years? Where's the church going to be next week? We're living in times of uncertainty. We're bound by that. And right now, if any time, we need a message of emancipation, liberation, and freedom. We need that message because right now, the world is pressing in on us to live like they do and treat people like they do and live carelessly like some of them do. And so, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, my sisters and brothers, gives us hope that emancipates. Church, we are free from the paralyzing fear that grips us and takes hold of us. And church, we are free to live bold and courageous in a world of terror. Yes, I cry, and I'm saddened when I see innocent victims waiting to catch a flight or getting on the subway, and they're blown to pieces by cowards. But I'm not overtaken in fear, because the risen Christ gives me hope. Church, we are free from having to measure up to a worldly metric. And we are free to live into what God has created us to be. We are free to be, I'm free to be me. I'm free to be who God has created me to be. I'm not bound and gripped by this instance or this situation where I have to measure up to a world standard or a metric. I don't care what the world says I ought to do. I'm free to live what God has called me to do. Amen? You see, church, we are free from having to be absorbed into brokenness, and free to live in God's healing grace. Last week I said that, look, hope doesn't necessarily take away the pain, but it helps us to get through the pain. And I'm free to live my life in a hope that doesn't look like the scatteredness or scatterbrainness or whatever you want to call it that the world lives in, wondering what's going to happen the next day. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to live in that brokenness. I lean into God's healing grace. It's because the hope I have in the risen Christ. Church, we can be free from judging and condemning. First of all, it was never our job to judge or condemn. Amen. But because Jesus Christ resurrected, he rose from the grave and he defeated everything that needed to be defeated. He's got the keys of death. He can be judge. He can do whatever he wants to do, which means I am free not to do it. Amen. We're free from judging and condemning, and we can be free to extend grace and mercy. You see, hope emancipates. It frees us to truly live. Church, we are free from having to give up when people say it's broken beyond repair, or that will never work, or things will never change. And we're free to believe God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, and that God, with God, all things are possible, and with God, we can do all things through Christ. Because hope emancipates. Church, it's Easter Sunday. And the story is still the same. Christ is risen from the dead, and he has awakened our souls and our consciousness. We now live in the freedom and liberation of God, and our hope rests in him and him alone. But perhaps this morning you find yourself like Peter at the tomb, and all you see are the linen scraps. What do you do? Later on, Jesus would appear to Peter and the others, confirming he was alive and commissioning them to go and to share the good news of the gospel to the whole world. And that's where we take our cue. Church, we need to be reminded that the one who stood confused, Peter, the one that stood confused at the tomb, was the one who stood up in a crowd of thousands and declared the gospel of the risen Lord. We need to remember that the one who was afraid and distraught, Peter, he preached the message of the risen Christ at the temple and was arrested for it. We need to be reminded that the one who didn't know what to do with linen scraps, Peter, was the one God sent to preach a message to the Gentiles. Listen to a portion of his sermon from Acts chapter 10, starting at verse number 34. Then Peter began to speak, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Peter, the one who stood bewildered at the tomb, is now preaching freedom in the risen Christ. What worldwide terror and presidential elections is teaching me is that carnal systems are made to divide us. What I am calling for this Easter is that we don't fall victim to the temptation to start dividing up. But understand that this hope that emancipates, that gives freedom, is for everyone. It doesn't show partiality. It has no favorites. But if we have truly embodied the freedom and liberation and emancipation that comes with the risen Christ, We need to take our cue from the apostles who had this encounter with the risen Christ, whose eyes were open, who were bound by fear and gripped with doubt and held up in suspense and fear. We let that go. We're emancipated from that. We're free from that. And we go and we share that we are living in the hope of the resurrection right now. Yes, there's some stuff that we're going to experience later on when we die and when we all get to heaven and we're going to walk streets of gold and go to the pond of ice cream and just eat and eat. At least that's my heaven. That's what we're going to do when we get there. But right now, we can live in that hope. Right now, as we live, we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be doubtful. We don't have to live in brokenness and let brokenness steer our lives. We can live in the hope of the resurrection that frees us, emancipate us. My call for us today is not to fall prey to terror, which is trying to divide us, or elections, which is trying to divide us, but that we, as the body of the living Christ, would be one in celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we would be one in living the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that we would be one in declaring to everyone we come into contact with that Jesus Christ is alive and he wants to free us all. Amen. That's my Easter message for 2016. And it's a message that I'll be preaching every day of my life. And I pray that we would all embrace a hope that emancipates. Let's pray. Oh, holy God, thank you for your love for mankind, for men and women and children all over this world. God, you are love, and I pray that your message of love would not be hindered by our foolishness, that it would not be hindered by our doubts, by our fears. God, in fact, since we know that we are inundated with foolishness and that we are inundated with fear and we are inundated with doubts, we pray that the risen Christ would come through and break us from these chains. And God, free us to live in a hope. Live in a hope that frees. Live in a hope that emancipates. God, I'm praying for each and every individual in here right now. Father, as we prepare to take bread and wine in just a few moments, I pray that you would open our eyes anew to the realities, a reality that with you, all things are possible, a reality with you that you are able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, a reality with you that says we can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives us strength. Father, open our eyes and free us. We love you, and we thank you for the risen Lamb of God. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. If we can bless you through prayer, through sharing with you, we wanna offer you this invitation. You can come forward if you like, if you wanna share something with your neighbor. But if you want to encounter God through a ministry of this church, we want to give you that opportunity as we sing right now.